I went to bed feeling awesome. Everything was awesome. And in the process of that, I woke up the next morning feeling like I had broke my ankle. I couldn't put any weight on it. It felt very painful. And I didn't know what had happened. No clue. All I knew is that I must have broken my ankle. So you might have noticed me hobbling really slowly that Sunday at church. I was trying to, maybe it's not broken, maybe I just need to work out the kinks or something like that. But it got worse, it kept getting worse. So Monday morning I went over to see a friend of mine, Chris Snoddy, and I asked him to check it out to see if it was broken. And so he looked at it and he goes, you know, it's not swollen like you have with break. He says, I've tried pushing on it in different ways and turning it and twisting it. It doesn't seem that that's where the pain is occurring. He says, I'll bet you 95% of my knowledge shows that you probably have gout. I said, what is gout? And I had no idea. I never had it. I never had anything wrong with me up until that point, really, that I didn't do because I was being stupid and foolish and broke something. But as far as my health, I've always been really healthy. My doctor told me one time that I was too healthy for a fat man. So I went to see my doctor. My doctor said, I think you have arthritic gout. So I had this, I said, well, what does that mean? Am I never going to be able to walk again? And he said, no, I'm going to give you a shot to take care of the issue. He said, I'm going to give you some medication to take for 2 weeks, and then you should be back to where you're feeling fine, around your ankle. So I made a determination that, well, I'm getting older, and I've never really ever felt old till this point. Until this happened to me, I'm thinking, man, that's something that old people get, you know. It's happening to me, you know. Am I getting old? And so I decided, well, this is not going to be. And so I determined to myself that I was going to change. I found out that gout is caused by uric acid in the bloodstream. It forms crystals around your joints, and it's very painful. I decided, well, I'm not into pain, so I'm going to do something about this. I decided I was going to transform my lifestyle. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today is transforming our lifestyle. We're going to be looking at a couple different passages. If you would like to turn to them, to Philippians chapter 3. I flipped the switch. Check 1, 2, 1, 2. Are you all having trouble hearing me? Oh. Sorry for the zip. Philippians chapter 3, and we're also going to be looking at Romans chapter 12 that we talked about in class today. So if you would like to be ready to look at those passages in a minute with me, we will do that. Transformation. How do you go about transforming who you are and becoming who you want to be? And I think the first thing you have to do is determine that you want to be transformed. You know, up until that point where I realized that I need to change some things in my lifestyle so that I don't have this reoccurring issue, you know, I had no desire to be transformed. It's like a person who is an alcoholic or anything else, that until you decide for yourself that that's what you want to be, you're never going to be it. And so I made the decision that I was going to transform myself physically because this was a problem. But it really ties into our spiritual life as well. How do we transform ourselves, and what does that mean? Well, the first thing I had to do was determine that's what I wanted to do. And the first thing that we have to do is, as Christians, is as people who want to be transformed, like to be godly people, to be the true essence of Christianity, is we have to determine, this is what I'm going to dedicate myself to. This is what I'm going to pour my heart and soul into, and I am going to make this change. Then the next thing I had to do was research. I had to know what I was dealing with and what it was going to cost me. What are the things that are going to transform me? What are the things that I'm going to have to change about who I am now and who I want to become? What are those things? And so I did. I got on the internet. I did my research. I found out what foods, you know, were high in uric acid, what I was going to have to avoid eating, what I could eat, and decide and make a plan. As Christians, we have to determine that, you know, whether it's due to some event in our life that has all of a sudden awoken us to the fact that we need to be transformed, or whether it's just a decision that we make in the spur of the moment, you know, I'm not happy with the way my lifestyle is going, I'm going to become a true, dedicated Christian person. We have to do our research. We have to find out, what does that mean? How do I go about it? What are the things that are going to be bad for me? What are the things that are bad for me? And what are the things that are good for me? And what is it going to cost me? Once I determined what that was, I had to make a complete change in the way that I was eating to make this transformation. And I had to determine that it was going to be I had to set my goal. My goal is to lose weight, because weight is a contributing factor to arthritic gout. I had changed my eating habits because the foods that I was eating were factors in causing that arthritic gout. And the same thing applies to our Christian life. What are the things that are good for us? What are the things that are bad for us? And how are we going to be transformed? How are we going to make those changes? And what is the ultimate goal that we're going to set for ourselves? You know, how many of you ever have been on a diet? Okay? Several of you have been on a diet before. You set your goals. You find out, what is my goal? What is my target? And you find that you do the things that you have to do to reach that target goal. Well, our goal is to see Jesus. Our goal is to live a life and transform ourselves so that we see Jesus. That we and to me, sometimes that's frightening, you know, to know that if, you know, if I transform my life to be and to live as Jesus has taught me to live, that one day I'm going to see him. Because that, to me, that's very scary, because he's so perfect and I'm so imperfect. And I understand why it says every knee will bow in heaven and in earth. Because he's just that spectacular. You know, he's just that awesome. I want to look over at Philippians chapter 3, first of all. Paul made one of these transformations when he went from Saul. He talks about it here. And if you'll follow along with me, it says, "My brothers and sisters, be full of joy in the Lord." No, he does. He says the same thing in chapter 4. He says, "Be full of joy in the Lord." Okay, so what are the transformations? Is our approach to happiness? What brings us happiness? You know, what is the joy we can find in the Lord? It says, "It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it will help you to be more ready." He said, "Watch out for those who do evil, who are like dogs, who demand to cut the body. We are the ones that are truly circumcised. We worship God through His Spirit, and our pride is in Jesus Christ. We do not put trust in ourselves or anything that we do." So this is one of the factors that is going to aid us in our transformations. We no longer are going to do what we want to do, but we are going to, through God's Spirit, put our pride in Jesus Christ and not in who we are and what we do. He says, "Although I might be able to put trust in myself, have that pride, if anyone thinks that he has a reason to trust in himself, he should know that I have greater reason for trusting in myself. For I was circumcised on the 8 days after my birth. I am from the people of Israel and from the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew, and my parents were Hebrews. I had a strict view of the law, which is why I became a Pharisee." Okay? His bragging points about himself were that he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Now, was he just an everyday, average, ordinary type of Hebrew person? But he came directly through the line of Benjamin. He was very strict in his observance of the law of Moses. He said, "And that's why I became who I became." Paul, when he set his mind to something, was very dedicated. He didn't want to just be the average Hebrew, but he wanted to be the best Hebrew. Do we want to be the best Christian? "Not only those things, but I think that all things are worth nothing compared to the greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have lost all those things, and I now know they are worthless trash. This allows me to have Christ." I had to determine that this stuff was trash in my body. That by eating these things that, yeah, I enjoyed them, I loved it. It was fun. I could eat whatever I wanted to, whatever I wanted to eat it. I had to change my mind about my approach. I needed to find joy in the things that I could eat and not focus on the things that I couldn't. And I think as part of this transformation that we're making, that we need to find our joy in Jesus Christ. Just as Paul said, "I found my joy in Jesus Christ." And the reason he started this book with joy, being joyful in the Lord. We need to find where what is the joy that we have in Jesus Christ, and what do we have that makes us joyful? How do we determine that our lives are going to be a joyful dedication to our Lord? He said, "And this allows me to have Christ and to belong to Him. Now I am right with God." This transformation, this understanding of what it takes to follow Christ, it is what makes us right with God. It gives us that assurance and that courage that we're now no longer focusing on what we want, but on what He wants, and that we're finding joy in coming together as a congregation, as a group of people, and sharing in one another's joys. And even in sorrow, we are there to bring joy to one another. "Not because I follow the law, because I believe in Jesus Christ. It's not because I'm committed to the rules, but that everything is about Jesus Christ. God uses my faith to make me right with Him. So He throws in this word faith. And I think we all have faith to different levels. You know, we look around and we say, you know, we can see, you know, where our faith lies, who is truly faithful, who just claims to have faith in our world, you know, but don't really practice it. He said, I follow the law because I believe in Jesus Christ, God who uses my faith to make me right with Him. And then he says, I want to know Christ and the power that raised Him from the dead. He says, I want to understand Christ. I want to know Him. I want to be intimate with Him. I want to understand the power that raised Him from the dead. Why was He willing to die for us? Why did His Father put Him in this situation where He had to die for us? I want to understand Him. I want to share in His suffering and become like Him in death. And we know that Paul shared in that suffering. You know, we think about Vinay and the threats that he faces and with the government that he's under and such like. And he has learned. There are times that God's people need to share in Christ's suffering. How many times was Paul imprisoned? And what were they doing while they were in prison? Was he in there saying, "Oh, this is horrible. This is terrible. Woe is me." No, we find in several passages in the book of Acts that they were singing and they were praying, and they were finding joy because they were being persecuted for serving God. That's dedication. Then I have hope that I myself will be raised from the dead. I know that if I do these things, that I myself am going to be raised from the dead. This life. This world that tries to control us, this world that tries to tell us what is right and wrong based upon nothing that has to do with Christianity. I have the hope that I'll be raised from the dead just like Christ was. And then he says this, I do not mean that I'm ready as God wants me to be. I have not yet reached that goal. Paul realizes that it's an ongoing thing to grow our faith, to become stronger and to work day in and day out to increase our faith, to expand our belief, to understand that all that Christ teaches. It's a process. It's a growing thing. In the book of Hebrews, the author accuses the people of not growing in their faith. Says, you guys started out on milk and you're still drinking milk. You haven't got to the meat. You're not even trying to find the meat of Christ's teachings. You're stagnant. You're not growing. Now, are we just existing as Christians? Are we getting by and just existing to say that we're Christians? When we come to church, we fellowship with one another, but how are we growing our faith? Paul said he hasn't yet achieved it. But I continue to reach it and to make it mine. It's personal. He says, I continue to try to reach to grow my faith and to make it mine. How do we do that? How do we make our faith ours? You know, we talk in class on Wednesday nights quite a bit about different things that people deal with, that differences of opinions of you know, should... You know, should women take a bigger role in the church? Should it be, is it all right to use musical instruments? These other things that that we hear debated all the time, you know, and we and our conclusion, I think, has been that we have to search out what God wants and make it our own. We have to be assurance in that our ideas on those kind of things are scripturally based. Our ideas on those things are based upon our belief that this is what Christ would want us to do. You know, we have to grow our faith and understand what our goal is. Brothers and sisters, I know that I have not yet reached that goal, but there's one thing I do, forgetting the past and straining toward what is ahead. In my diet, I have to forget the way I used to eat. I have to forget about the things that I used to love to eat. And I have to move forward in achieving my goal. In our Christianity, we have to do the same thing. We have to forget the past. We all have things in our past that haunt us, that trouble us, that we're ashamed of. Everybody has those times in their lives where weakness occurs. Paul says, I have to forget the past. I have to strain toward what is ahead. Straining isn't just moving forward. It means it's actively moving forward. I have to strain at it. I have to exert effort at it in order to move toward what is ahead. Verse 14, he says, I keep trying to reach the goal and get the prize for which God has called me through Christ to live the life above. All of us who are spiritually mature should think this way too. Are we spiritually mature? Do we have the same goal as Paul did? Paul's transformation took place on a road, directly from a light that shone from heaven that blinded him. Well, we don't have that experience. We have to make that transformation, and we have to decide that we're going to be people who are going to do everything in our power to achieve Christ to ourselves. We're not going to have a blinding experience physically, but we need to have that blinding experience spiritually. And if there are things that you do not agree with, God will make them clear to you. And if there are things that you don't agree with, God will make them clear for you. If you're truly seeking God, He has the answers. He's going to make it clear in your life what those answers are if you seek Him through His Spirit. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. But we should continue following the truth we already have. Brothers and sisters, all of you should try to follow my example and to copy those who live the way we showed you. Many people live like enemies of the cross of Christ. That's our world. They live as enemies of the cross of Christ, and we need to recognize that. I have often told you about them, and it makes me cry to tell you about them now. He actually hurts for the lost. He actually physically cries for those that are not following the path that he has been teaching. And then he says, but in the end, they will be destroyed. They do whatever their bodies want, and they're proud of their shameful acts, and they only think about earthly things. But our homeland is in heaven. And we are waiting for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come from heaven. By His power to rule all things, He will change our humble bodies and make them like His own glorious body. We are waiting for that opportunity. We are longing for, he says, that time when Christ will change us from these humble bodies, from these worthless bodies, as Paul talks about, into something glorious. Imagine yourself being something glorious. And that's our goal that we're shooting for. We're shooting to be able to be transformed into something glorious, more glorious than it could ever be here on this earth. And Jesus Christ has made us that promise. So he says, moving on in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, "So be full of joy in the Lord always. I say it again, be full of joy. Let everyone that sees you know that you are gentle and kind, because the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need, and always give thanks for what God has given you. And the God and God's peace, which is so great we can't understand it, will keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord." This is the transformation. This is the reward of the transformed Christian. And then finally he says in verse 8, "Think about these things that are good and worthy of praise. Think about the things that are true and honorable and right and pure and beautiful and respectful of God. Do what you've learned and received from me. What I've told you and what you saw me do, and the God who gives peace will be with you." I think that's what we want. I think we want the peace that Paul had. The peace that came even through persecution. The peace that came through knowing that he was going to find joy in anything that he was doing, from teaching the people of God's will to suffering the consequences for teaching God's will. And then I want to move over for just a minute to Romans chapter 12. "So brothers and sisters, since God has shown us great mercy, I beg you offer your lives as a living sacrifice to him." Paul is groveling, he's begging them. He's saying, "I beg you become like Christ." And to do this, your offering must be only for God and pleasing to him, which is the spiritual way for you to worship. Okay? Your offering cannot be split. You cannot be, as it says in another passage, in the world and of the world, but there's a separation here in our transformation that separates us from the world. There's a barrier that we have to build that keeps us from doing the worldly things. It keeps us from giving in to the worldly temptations that we face. It is this is what pleases him. It says, living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. It means day to day to day we are sacrificing our will for the will of Jesus Christ. "Do not be shaped by this world, but instead be changed within by a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to decide what God wants for you. And you will know what is good and pleasing to him and what is perfect." This is how we find our goal. This is how we find our separation. Is that when we make that determination, determine we are going to make that transformation, then we will understand God's will for us. You know, if we let the world be part of that, you know, we were talking in class today, you know, about, and I think I used a character, and I think I used the idea of schizophrenic character, where you are one thing to some people and you're another thing to other people. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about a full, head-on commitment to serving God and to serving Christ. Not the chameleon that Davey mentioned, but that changes his colors according to his surroundings. But our colors don't change. Our banner is the banner that we wave that is from Christ, Jesus. And we're not all there yet. And our world is not there yet. The people around us are not there yet. We need to be guidebooks like Paul was a guidebook for the people and the churches there in Asia Minor. We need to be the guidebook that can stand up and say, this is what you need to do. This is what I do. You can learn it from me. You can learn it from the book. You can learn it from to make these transformations. You can do it just like I do it, because I gave up everything of this world to become a child of Jesus Christ. I gave up my status. I gave up my faith to follow the law, because the law was not the law that Christ tells us to follow. And then finally, I always go back to this: how do we do this, and how do we interact with one another in this? What if I have things that I feel are a little bit different than how you feel? You know, and I think about that quote that Thomas Campbell had in his sermon, where it said, "We need to have in matters of faith unity." When the rubber meets the road, when we follow the precepts of Christ, when he talks about baptism, he commands us to be baptized. Those precepts that he speaks about, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, because those two things that he's commanded us cover everything that we need to know. If we apply those two things, then we will act as a child of God, and we will seek out God's will in our life. And because we love him, and we only want to serve him, and we only want to follow his teachings, we will seek out the truth, and we will consult his Spirit to help us to understand those truths. He says, in matters of faith, unity; in matters of opinion, liberty. I preached this sermon at my choir camp this year on Sunday morning, because I wanted our kids to know that a lot of times I hear them arguing about this thing and that thing, and it's nothing set in stone. It's just opinion. We have to show liberty to people that don't quite think exactly like us, as long as it's not a matter of faith, where the unity comes from. We need to allow people to have opinions. Just because their opinion differs from mine, just because I don't think exactly like Jaquan does, I should allow Jaquan to have his opinion, and he should allow me to have mine. But then the last thing in this sermon that he preached was this: but in all things, love. Let it fill our hearts and soul. If we are motivated out of our love for Jesus Christ, we will find the unity in the Spirit, the bond of peace. We will allow people to be a little bit different than ourselves, but at the same time join hands with them in serving our Lord Jesus Christ. And because the essence of God is love, and when we love with a godly love, we love like God does, one another. I hope this has encouraged you some today, that you will think about these things. And if you are stagnant, if you're just kind of being living the chameleon life, that you will think about these things and decide that you want to be transformed. And if you need to be transformed, if you need to have prayers, for that transformation. You know, we can do that for you. And everything, it's about Christ and who he is and our desire to be like him. At this time, we'll have our closing song and then our announcements. If you would, please stand and sing.